I'm a little warm. I don't know about y'all. Maybe it's because I'm up here. Well, good morning to everyone here, and good to see everybody that's come out this morning to worship God with me and with others. I just always want to say I appreciate your presence whenever you do come out, because it's an encouragement to me that there's people out there that think like I do. My topic of discussion this morning is going to be Thanksgiving. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving week. So if you don't know that, you go ahead and start making your preparations. I'm just here to remind you that it's coming up Thursday. To most of us, we might think Thanksgiving being different things. Just our holiday, when we think about it coming up, most of us probably think about a four-day weekend. Some time off of work, some time to get to spend with our families. Maybe if you like shopping, Black Friday might appeal to you. If you like to eat, definitely it's probably your favorite holiday. It's one of the things that some of the things we think about. Just to give a quick history lesson on Thanksgiving, you might think about the Pilgrims and the Indians, but the way the holiday was actually established in 1777, the Continental Congress passed a day of Thanksgiving. And that was, I believe, sometime in like the third Thursday in December. Later on in 1795, George Washington instituted another national day of Thanksgiving, which was February 19th in 1795. From then on, there really, every once in a while, you'd have somebody declare a day of Thanksgiving. And then Abraham Lincoln in 1863, that's when he set up the annual day of Thanksgiving on the last Thursday in November that we celebrate to this day every year. The idea of that we should, and the idea behind it is the idea that as a nation, we should in unison thank God for the bounty He has given us. And that that as a country, that we didn't do this on our own, that this was something that as a people that would follow God's ways, they are blessed by God because they do things His way. And one of the things about Thanksgiving that we don't always talk about, you look at the Old Testament and the way that Thanksgiving was looked at in the Old Testament. Turn over to the book of Leviticus. One of the things I find interesting about the book of or about Thanksgiving in the Old Testament and what we read about in Leviticus is the idea of Thanksgiving under the old law. Really, God doesn't give a whole lot about it, because He's got all of His sacrifices and all of His worship set up how He wants it, and He gives, and anything above that, which would be, the quote-unquote Thanksgiving offering, He gives specific commands for it, but He says one little thing that I find very interesting in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29. Says, when you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted. The New King James reads, or you should offer it of your own free will. Okay, that thanksgiving, and God understands this about us, thanksgiving is not something that can be forced. You've heard the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The idea of thanksgiving is that it can't be something that is from just our lips. Because if it is something that is just from our lips and not from our heart, it becomes flattery. It becomes a lie. It becomes something that is abominable to God. And so that thanksgiving, in order for it to be true thanksgiving and acceptable to God, it's got to be of our own free will. It's got to be something that is from the heart and something that we should mean sincerely. We teach our kids every day to say thank you when they get something from someone. And it's one of those things that we ingrain in our children. When you receive a gift from somebody, you say thank you. And eventually, the appreciation that they feel for the gift, the thank you is ingrained in them so that they're going to automatically say thank you. Because children don't automatically know how to express their feelings. You know, you see a child that is elated with a gift that they receive at Christmas. Thank you is not the first thing that comes to their mind. The happiness and the joy that they receive from that, and yes, they appreciate it, but they may not know how to express that. So we as parents, we kind of guide them in the right direction to say thank you and show appreciation. So it's really like that with God. God understands that we're people, and you know, He does good things for us. He blesses us, but thankfulness must come from within us, and we must give it to God as something that we have built within us, I should say. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. We can't talk about saying thank you without talking about the 10 lepers. It's a story we're all familiar with, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. And it says, beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 17, it says, "And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a certain village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to God, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And when it came about as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face with feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to turn back to give glory to God except this foreigner?'" And what we see here is that we see that the blessings of God incited something within the man's heart, within the Samaritan's heart, that he would give God the glory, that he would give thanks to God, knowing that Jesus or God was the source of his healing. And what we also see here is we see 9 men that received the same healing and that understood that Jesus was the source of that healing. I believe there's no doubt in that they understood Jesus was the source of their healing because of what they cried out, that when they said, "Have mercy on us, Jesus, Master." And so they understood exactly where their blessing came from and where their healing came from, but they didn't think to give God the glory. They didn't think to turn back and say thank you to God. And maybe they did in their own minds. I mean, we don't know exactly, but Jesus tells us that the Samaritan was the only one who turned back and praised God from that. And so, you know, we see from a sense of ingratitude that as those leprous men were going to be cleansed by the priest, that, you know, it's something that Jesus condemned. You know, he says, "Where were the 9? Where were they should be giving thanks to God, because that's what should happen when you see the blessings of God. They glorify God by saying thank you." In Psalms chapter 69, one of the things we do when we say thank you to God, when we give our thanksgiving, is we magnify the goodness of God. Psalm 69 and verse 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with song, and I shall magnify him with thanksgiving." And the idea of magnification is that you make something bigger. And it's such an important thing in the life of a Christian that we magnify the name of God. We magnify his blessings, make those bigger in our lives, because they're undeniable at that point. When we're saying thank you to God, when we're giving God the honor that he deserves, we understand where the source is. And we understand that it's not something that's of our own accord, that we, when we look at our own lives, we don't just, we're not caught up in our own self, that we didn't provide these things for us, that it's not our own merit, it's not our own initiative, it's not our own hard work that got us there, but it is by the providence of God that he made these good things come into our lives. And so, when we look at when we say thank you to God, we make these things more important to us as well. It's so important for us to take an inventory of what we have in our lives, the blessings that we have. When we see good things happen in our lives, and we see good things spiritually from the scriptures, that we can take and take inventory of these things, it gives us cause to say thank you. In Philippians chapter 4. Probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and so I use it on frequent occasions, because I think there's so much here that that we can take from this. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is anything excellent and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." So we see, in as we're praying to God with thanksgiving, you know, we have a lot of good things we can think about. You know, optimism is not just a personality trait; it's a commandment of God. We've got to look at the good things that we've been given in our lives and not focus on the bad things, because if we focus on the bad things, we become just like the children of Israel. When we look at the children of Israel, we look at that example of them coming out of Egypt, and there's a lot of instances where the scriptures talk about how they forgot the goodness of God. They didn't, you know, like I use the term take inventory, they didn't take inventory of what God has done for them. They didn't really look at the goodness that God had provided for them, even in the wilderness. They didn't take into consideration all the water that was provided for them in the desert, the food that rained out of heaven. They didn't realize that they forgot that they were freed from an oppressor, from an evil nation, and all that stems from an unthankful heart. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. And you know, unthankfulness is not something that I believe God takes lightly. Ingratitude is something that he takes very seriously. Because it's a prelude to a lot of other things to follow. When we become ungrateful, when we become unthankful, when that kind of reality sets into our life, that we stop giving honor to God and stop giving thanks to God, there's a lot of bad things that can happen in our lives, because it distances us from God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of a corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." So you think about the unthankful heart, you know, here in verse 21, because they stopped, that even though they knew God, they stopped honoring God and they stopped being thankful to God. And they became futile in their minds, their heart was darkened, and then they became idol worshipers. And from that, they became homosexuals. And that, you see where I'm going with this? It all starts from an unthankful heart. When we stop giving God the honor that he's due and understanding that he's the source of everything that we have that's good, it leads us in modern day and time. You think about if we stop giving God the honor of the creation, where does that put us? It puts us into a camp of Scientologists or evolutionists or a lot of places that we find just crazy right now because of our faith in God. We stop giving God the honor of marriage. Where does that leave us? It leaves us to polygamy, homosexuality, all that, where God instituted that marriage and he has blessed it. If we stop giving God the honor of that, then we'll become futile in our thinking and start doing exactly like people around us in the scientific community and the social community around us profess to be wise because we're enlightened by certain things, and we're become fools at the same time. All because we're not thankful. Let's look at Hezekiah. In 2 Chronicles 32, Hezekiah was a good king. Probably, him and Josiah would be two of the best kings that Judah ever had. Hezekiah did a lot of good things for God. He served God with his whole heart, and he was acknowledged by God as doing so. In 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 25, basically give you the scenario here that Hezekiah is struck with an illness, and he prays to God that God would heal him, basically. And God gives him a sign, and that and he ends up answering his prayer and extends his life. Okay? Well, Hezekiah doesn't say thank you for that. And verse 25 says, "But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him in Judah and Jerusalem. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah." You know why? You know how you can tell that God doesn't like ingratitude is because, you know, a faithful servant of his, Hezekiah, who God himself says did all the Lord commanded, and yet when Hezekiah forgets to say thank you, therefore the wrath came on him and Judah and Jerusalem. And that, therefore, you know, we understand that that incites God's anger when we forget to recognize him as the source of the good things in our life. When we forget to say thank you to him for all that he's done for us. That's the one thing I try to teach my kids is that, you know, if God's the source of these things, he can just as well take them away. He gave them to us, he can just as well take them away. So let's look at Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. A lot of the times when we look at these verses, it's always associated with music and church, but it's really about thanksgiving. It's really about what we should be doing in our hearts to God, and really where our mindset should be as far as our unity with one another and how we should relate to one another. You know, although we use it as a proof text for instrumental music, or you know, how we should use our music to God, but it's really about, you know, the idea of our hearts and where they should be to God. Beginning of verse 15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which is indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now, with those things that we look at in our lives, you know, do we have thankfulness in our hearts? Do we have the type of heart when we're with one another that we would say thank you to God, that we would give God the glory, give God the honor, give God everything that he deserves? Or don't we, you know, and if we don't, how do we become more thankful? How do we get to that point? If I'm somebody who's ungrateful, how do I become grateful? And the only answer to that is you have to increase your faith. You have to see the goodness of God. You've got to get close to those people who are thankful and who are grateful for the things of God. You know, Justin's sermon last week really hit home, because if you're away from the source of heat, you're not gonna boil up like the Christians around you. If you're not thankful to God, it's probably because you don't see the goodness of God, which means you probably stop reading your Bible. You probably stop looking for the goodness of God in your life. Let's look at Psalm 78. Transitioning into the, you know, as we, if I've become unthankful in my own life, and I look at the children of Israel and how they were ungrateful for the things that God did to them, and it kind of bred bitterness, and it bred ingratitude and complaining, and a sense of entitlement. You know, like with Hezekiah, when we look at Hezekiah with him, one of the things with him is it bred pride in his life. That it said he had a proud heart, and that Hezekiah lived under, because he did all the good things, he kind of lived under the wing of God and began to feel a sense of entitlement. So when you have a good life and it is blessed by God, you may begin to just expect that. And that's kind of what Hezekiah did. He felt that sense of entitlement, and he had to take a step back when he incited God's anger and say, wait a second, I need to repent of that. So when we look at the children of Israel, when they come out and they're wandering and they're grumbling and complaining and doing all these things that they're not supposed to be doing, and instead of just saying, thank you for freeing us from the bondage of Egypt and providing us with food and water, and when now we have our freedom, we can be a nation unto ourselves. There's a land that's been promised to us that we're going to be going to. You know, there's a lot of promises that God is in the process of fulfilling, and yet they forgot what God did for them. In Psalm 78, verse 42, this is talking about the children of Israel in the midst of their wandering. It says, they did not remember his power the day when they redeemed him from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan, and turned the rivers to blood and the streams that they could not drink. And it goes on and enumerates the plagues there. But, you know, who could forget seeing the plagues in Egypt? Who could forget seeing the Red Sea parted? Well, obviously the children of Israel could. And it's not that they forgot it, that they couldn't remember it. They stopped thinking about it. They stopped reminding themselves about it. And you know, one of the things about the Lord's Supper, Daryl put it out today, is that part of what we're doing here is reminding ourselves about the Lord's Supper, about the goodness of God, Jesus giving himself on the cross for our sins. There's no lack of things to be thankful for in our lives. So if I find that myself an ungrateful person, I find myself struggling to find things to thank God about, well, the only way that I can do that is by getting into the Word and seeing God's goodness through His Scriptures. And then, and at that point, when I see His spiritual rewards that are, the spiritual blessings that are being given to me on a daily basis, that God is continually cleansing my sins, that He's continually giving me a family, He's continually giving me good things day in and day out. The more of God's goodness we can see, the more thankfulness that we will have in our hearts to God that we'll be able to express. And in the on the physical side of things, if I refuse to open my eyes and see the good things physically that He's given me, John, not just the spiritual blessings of God, but you know, if I've got food to eat every day and a roof over my head, we look at Matthew chapter 6 and how comforting that is just to know that the physical things are going to be provided for us. There's so many things that we can be thankful for. And if we find ourselves with a heart of ingratitude, we need to really stop and take inventory. One thing that a retail grocery store would do at least once a month, if not, you know, several times a year, you know, take inventory of what they've got on their shelf. And why is that? They've got to know what they're worth. One of the things, if you find yourself not wanting to or having a hard time, why does God love me? You know, how much am I worth to God? You know, take inventory of all the things that He's given you, and that will show you your net worth to God, that you are worth so much to Him, that He has invested so much time and energy into all of our lives. You think about your own story, about the gospel being brought to you. Look at the providence of God and how He provided you with the gospel so that you could be saved, because He gave His Son and He wanted you to take part in that. There's a lot of things that were invested in you by God so that you can be thankful. If you're somebody who finds yourself being ungrateful, then I would strongly encourage you to take a look, and that you probably need to study your Bible more, probably need to get involved with worship and Bible study here at the church more, and really get involved with Christians more, because that there's no lack of things to be thankful for. And with that, I'm going to say the lesson's yours this morning. If you're here this morning, then hopefully that you're a thankful person, because you want to worship God. And that's my prayer for everybody, that you would have a heart of thankfulness, that you would have that sense about you to to give God what is properly His and fitting, that, that you would thank Him for the goodness of your life and the goodness of His Word and the goodness of His Son. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, maybe you haven't understood that goodness of God, that, that He has died for you and that, that, that Christ has died on the cross for your sins. And maybe if you understand that this morning and that you want to become a partaker of His goodness and His grace, we've got the water available and we just invite you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.